Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you today transcribed from Hollywood under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, based on a story by Menashe Unger, which appeared in the Day Jewish Journal, was written by Joseph Mindell and is titled, How Rabbi Kalman Disappeared. It is presented as part of the National Observance of Brotherhood Week.
One day, Rabbi Kalman disappeared. On Tuesday, he went his accustomed way. On Wednesday, he was gone. Vanished, nowhere to be found. It was in the city of Krakow in Poland exactly 148 years ago. And I will tell you how it happened. There was a little square in Krakow. And on this Tuesday, before the disappearance, as on every Tuesday, peasants came from the countryside to sell a basket of potatoes or cabbages, a few chickens, perhaps a lamb or a calf, and to buy a pair of shoes or cotton cloth and some thread. Now, between the buying and the selling, it was not unusual for a peasant to drop in at the wine shop at the end of the street, as it happened on this occasion. And in the manner of peasants in those days, to bang on the table.
I want something to drink.
Well, now, there's no need to make so much noise. After all, there is
time. Man could die of thirst sitting here.
It's an exaggeration. Now, I have raisin wine and honey wine. I recommend
bring
the raisin.
Me vodka. Vodka, it's a wine is for women.
Oh, what a thing to say. In the first place, it's not a fact. And secondly, you don't know my raisin wine. Just try a glass. Why, this same
I
raisin...
I don't want an argument. I want vodka.
Don't have to get so excited. Please be calm now. Just wait. I'll bring a glass of wine. Ah, here. Here's good raisin wine. Now, just try it. Go on. Drink it down.
Raisin wine. I didn't ask for wine.
Drink it. It's free. There's no charge.
So you refuse to serve me?
Now, did I say that this is a wine shop? I don't sell vodka.
A man wants a drink, and you won't give it to
but
him.
You...
Here's what I think of your filthy raisin wine.
Oh, you shouldn't have done that. The wine is still free. I'm a man of my word, but the glass, you'll have to pay for that.
Pay what? Indeed. Listen, everybody. Listen how they treat an honest man. He refuses to serve me, and then he wants me to pay.
No, no, it's not true. Believe me, it's not true what he says.
Now he calls me a liar.
No, he's not a liar.
You want me to pay, I'll pay you, all right. Stones, more stones. Get more stones, and we'll pay all you people in this town. The police! Run! You Jews, we know where to find you. We'll be back.
Quiet, please! Please, quiet!
Back, Meyer!
Well, please let us have a little order.
Mark my words, they'll be back and they'll be carrying more stones.
Well, we know it, but we must decide what to do. Now, as I see it, What are you staring at, Selig?
Was I staring, Meyer? I was sitting here wondering to myself that the day should come that I, Selig, should be happy to see the police.
Well, now, they didn't come to save your skin, Selig, or your wine shop, or my dry goods store.
Oh, but still...
There's a riot against Jews, even the shops on the other side of the square could be damaged. Now, that's why the police stopped it. Ah, yes, and it was all so unnecessary. Well...
What's that?
Oh, never mind. Let it pass.
Are you saying that it was all my fault?
Oh, now, we just won't talk
about
it.
Yes, we will talk about it.
Well, all right, if you insist, Selig, we will talk about it. Why couldn't you give the man a glass of vodka and have kept him quiet?
But I don't sell vodka.
Don't shout!
Also, Meyer, if I had vodka, maybe he wouldn't like it. And if he did like it, well, maybe he wouldn't like the glass it was in. How far do they have to look for an excuse to start a riot against them?
Meyer, Selig.
Oh. Now, how did the riot last spring start? And the pogrom 2 years ago...
Arguing, both of you. We all know it's going to happen. They have a whole week to listen to the agitators, to magnify the incident, to become more and more angry. They'll be back. We can be sure of that.
And the police will stop them again.
You've forgotten what next Tuesday is.
Well, it's the market day, as usual.
Selig, it's the beginning of the yearly fair. Oh,
the fair. Peasants from all the villages for miles around Krakow will be here.
Even if the police wanted to, what could they do? No, this is a real problem.
Well, it's what I said at the beginning, isn't it?
And if you did, Miles?
Well, then we must decide what to do. Well, no one has anything to say?
Maybe you have a suggestion?
Well, now, first of all, let us be reasonable and logical. There are clearly two alternatives. We can stay here and wait, or we can leave the city. Right?
Go on.
Well, now let us examine the two possibilities. First, as to leaving Krakow. Well, of course, the authorities won't permit it to begin with, and if they did permit it, well, where would we go? But... on the other hand, who says we have to leave? It's still a whole week. Maybe they'll forget in a week. Yeah, but it's more than likely that they'll remember to come and give us a good beating, if not worse. Unless we defend ourselves with sticks, with stones, with our fists. Oh, but since they outnumber us 100-1, well, we'll be beaten anyhow.
As I said, this is a real problem.
Excuse me. That it's a problem I don't deny. But whose?
Selig, if you can't talk sense, then be still.
Maya, it's wrong, isn't it, to break windows and burn down shops and beat innocent people?
Of course it's wrong. Everybody knows it.
No, not everybody. We know, but they still have to learn it. It's a problem. But whose?
You're talking nonsense, Selig. As for me, I know whose heads will be broken.
And yet, maybe Selig is right.
Rabbi Kalman, shush, quiet. Let Rabbi Kalman speak.
Rabbi Kalman, you agree with Selig?
At least he is not entirely wrong.
Rabbi, I don't understand. I simply don't understand.
Meyer, why are the peasants so ready to attack us?
Why? Since when does a peasant need an excuse to beat a Jew?
Maybe it's because he doesn't know the Jew as a person, but only as something to be beaten.
Maybe, Rabbi. But what then?
Then he must learn. Someone must teach him.
Someone? You mean us? All of us?
If not all of us, at least one.
What can one person do?
He can talk to the peasants. He can show them the truth. He can tell them the truth. He can tell them what is right and what is wrong.
You don't know what you're saying, Rabbi Kalman. To go out among the peasants in the villages, a man would take his life in his hands.
And if we stay here and wait, what do we do with our lives?
Well, at least we can hope. Between this Tuesday and the next, who knows what can happen?
You know, Meyer. We all know.
Well, why do you leave it to me to talk? You heard the rabbi. Well, why don't you answer him?
This was Tuesday, and there was little sleep that night. As each man tossed and turned on his bed, there was much to think about. And the thoughts lingered into the next day, so that twice Zelig poured honey wine instead of raisin. When it happened the second time, a new thought came, which made him put down the bottle and run to Meyer's store.
Meyer!
Meyer! Rabbi Kalman.
What about Rabbi Kalman?
Well, where is he? I haven't seen him today.
Does he then report to you every day?
Oh, you don't understand. Every day. But every day, mind you, he passes my shop on his way to the synagogue.
Well, then maybe today he took a different path.
But why should he? I wonder where he can be.
Oh, in 100 places. Maybe even at home.
Well, maybe he's at home sick. Maybe he's...
Oh, not... stop imagining things. Hey, where are you going? Telly, wait for me!
Rabbi Kalman! Rabbi... Meyer, he's not in the synagogue.
Oh, now calm yourself, Selig. You're making me anxious. Now let me look. Rabbi Kalman?
Don't make so much noise.
Well, we're looking for Rabbi Kalman.
He's not here.
We can see that. Do you know where he is?
He came to me very early this morning. And
how is the rabbi feeling?
Does he have a fever?
What are you talking
Maybe
about?
We should send for the doctor.
What for? Rabbi Kalman isn't sick.
Oh, thank God. I want to see him.
Now, we both want to see him.
He came to me very early this morning.
Why to you?
Why, Zelig? He came to me because I am the shamus and I was the only one awake. He said he was going on an important mission to another city.
What mission?
I don't know, Mike.
What city?
I don't know that either,
Sammy. Well, didn't you ask him?
If Rabbi Kalman wants to tell me, he will. If he doesn't, then I don't ask.
When is he coming back?
In a week, he said. Maybe more, maybe less.
I don't understand it that he should leave us now, that in a time like this, Rabbi Kalman should disappear.
How could anyone understand such a thing? Yet there it was. Rabbi Kalman had disappeared, gone, vanished. Around the little square in Krakow, the people went about their business without their rabbi, waiting uneasily, waiting for what the next week would surely bring. And all this time, what was happening outside the city? Well, the same day that Rabbi Kalman vanished, there appeared on the highway an elderly peasant. At least, he appeared to be a peasant, for he was dressed in a peasant's clothes, who went from village to village, talking quietly with whomever he met.
I see you're carving a walking stick. Do I look as if I need a stick to help me walk, little uncle? I thought it seemed too heavy for a walking stick. No, it's a cudgel. Oh, such a club could easily split a man's head. You may well say it, little uncle. Only wait till next Tuesday. There will be head split.
Whose?
But where have you been? Whose, he wants to know. The Jews of Krakow, of course.
Why?
The questions the man asks. Why? Because they are our enemies.
Oh. Did one of them harm you?
Harm me? No, not me. A man in the next village.
It happened to him, then?
That's what he said. Or did he say that somebody told him? Oh, well, they're Jews. What difference does it make? What are you thinking, little uncle?
I was wondering if you had a brother.
A brother? I have six.
Just suppose that one of your brothers cheated me.
Why should I speak ill of my own kin? But between you and me, it could happen.
Then should I come and split your head?
What for? Did I do you harm? Besides, we were talking about my brother. And what has he got to do with... little uncle, I'm not so simple that I do not understand what you mean.
Stefan, it sometimes seems to me that the simplest things are the hardest to understand.
He lived in the villages with the peasants, eating dry bread and drinking water. He spoke to them simply, and they listened to him, even when he asked questions that wrinkled their brows with unaccustomed thought. But sometimes he did not ask questions in a quiet voice, as on that evening when an agitator from Krakow, a rabble-rouser, came to the inn where the peasants gathered. Then his voice was neither quiet nor mild.
You are a liar.
Be careful how you speak to me.
It is for you to be careful of the things you say.
I'll teach you. No. No, I won't be provoked by an ignorant old peasant.
You are not telling the truth when you say that they are enemies with evil in their hearts.
You have never been more than a mile from your village. What do you know about these matters?
I have lived among Jews, but that is not how I know.
I suppose you'll tell us now that they are angels.
I tell you that they are people like other people. Some are good and some may not be. If there are thieves among them, there are more than are honest. They work hard for a living, as all of us do, and want good for themselves as for their neighbors. Anyone who says differently is a liar.
That's enough from you, old man. He might be a Jew himself. Look at his beard.
Wait. I have a beard myself.
No, that's different. As for you, we don't need you here. Go back to tending your pigs.
Take your hands off him, mister from Krakow.
I could almost think that you were taken in by his talk.
What you think is not my business.
Have you forgotten about next Tuesday?
And what we do next Tuesday is none of your business.
All right.
I won't let you forget. Mister from Krakow, please be so good as to shut up.
Did he hurt you, little uncle?
Stefan, I'm all right, all right.
Come and sit with me.
Innkeeper! My glass is empty.
Something is troubling you, Stefan.
Yeah. I'll tell you what it is. I'm sad.
Hmm?
Whenever I drink a few glasses, I'm sad. Do you know why? Because I feel lonely. So lonely. You think I'm drunk, huh?
Loneliness is a sad thing.
Mm-hmm. Tell me something.
Hmm?
Only you must promise to tell me the truth.
Oh, I promise.
Then tell me. Do you love me or don't you love me?
Of course I do.
You promised, little uncle. You promised.
But it's true, Stefan.
You say you love me, but you don't know what I need. If you really loved me, you would know. What is it, little uncle? Your face is white. What did I say?
All my life I have tried to understand what it means to love one's fellow man, but I could never say it. Just now, Stefan, you said it.
I did it? I said what?
To know what another man needs, what he wants, what causes him pain, and what gives him pleasure. That is really love of our fellow man.
Is that what I said? Well, I'm glad if it helps you.
Not only me. Don't you see, Stefan, what else it means? If we know these things, there is no place for hate and anger. And if we only want to, how can we not know, since we are all men?
Whether it was the same in the rest of the world, I cannot say. But in Krakow, the week passed quickly, too quickly. On Monday evening, when it was time to close the shops on the square, the men warned their wives and children to remain indoors, and they themselves went to the synagogue. If the services that evening had a quality of absent-mindedness, it is understandable that there was nothing lacking in the singing of the songs. How long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart by day?
Oh, if only Rabbi Kalman were here.
Well, if you're going to make wishes, Zelig, I have other suggestions. Besides, even Rabbi Kalman couldn't help us now.
No, but maybe we could have helped ourselves.
What? Oh, you're still thinking about what the rabbi said before... Well, before he left us.
I don't like the way you say that, Mark.
Well, I don't have to choose my words to please you, even though you are the shaman.
If Rabbi Kalman had to go on a mission, then you may be sure it was an important one. And Zelig isn't the only one who has been thinking of what he said.
Anybody can think. You're so sure he was right. Why didn't you volunteer to be a hero? Why didn't you, Zelig?
Don't you know, Meyer?
I was afraid.
Oh, well, I don't know what makes me so quarrelsome tonight.
Oh, and yet, I've been afraid all week, right here in Krakow. Afraid, and I've accomplished nothing.
But there is nothing we can do.
Well, I don't know about you, Shamus, or you, Selig. As for me, first I will put the shutters over the windows. Then I will go into my house and lock the door. With two locks.
Open up, Meyer. Open the door. Where is everybody? This is no time to sleep, Selig. Open the door.
Oh, Rabbi Kalman.
Yes, it's almost daylight, Selig.
Is it really the rabbi?
He's back. Yes. Meyer, he's back.
Well, what's the matter? You two, you out of your mind? Standing out there in the street inside. Oh, quickly, yes. Quickly. Well, now, that's better.
What's the matter with you? Shop window shutter, doors locked. Don't you remember what day it is?
No, we remember.
The peasants come early for the fair. You haven't much time to make ready.
We're ready. You've just returned, Rabbi.
Only this minute, Selig.
But you aren't dusty and your clothes aren't wrinkled from the journey.
I went to my house to change them. Come. I'll help you take down the shutters.
Rabbi Kalman, maybe you've forgotten what day this is.
I've been telling you, Mike.
Then if you remember, you'd better leave the shutters where they are.
They are flimsy protection against the hate and violence that can be in men's hearts.
Well, they'll just have to do until we can find something better.
You don't have to look far, Meyer. Only for the good that can be in the same men.
Who's that?
Open up, Jews.
What's going on? They're here.
Open up and come out. Don't you want to do business?
They don't sound angry.
Oh, it's a trick, Selig. Now, don't open that door, Selig.
Oh, Meyer, how much protection is there in the door?
It's about time. I carried these eggs all the way. What are you looking at? Didn't you ever see 3 dozen eggs before?
Yes, of course. Only never such friendly eggs.
Never was there such a market day. Never were there so many smiles, never such a feeling of peace and friendliness as on that Tuesday in the little square in Krakow. Late in the afternoon, Rabbi Kalman was in Zelig's wine shop when Stepan, the peasant, sat down and, in the manner of peasants, banged on the table. And after Zelig had set down a glass of wine before him and he had emptied the glass with one swallow, then Rabbi Kalman spoke.
That's a fine walking stick you carry.
I carved it myself.
Though it's a little heavy for a walking stick.
You noticed it, eh? That's because it started out to be something else.
A cudgel.
That's right. A cudgel.
How did you know that, Rabbi Kalman?
You have only to look at it, Selig.
It's no secret, I suppose, what almost happened here today.
But it didn't happen.
No, and if I were to tell you why, you wouldn't believe me.
How can we know unless you tell us?
It was on account of one man.
Well, Selig, do you believe it?
Well, I think it depends on who the man was.
Do you?
Yes, because, after all, what can an ordinary man accomplish all by himself?
What, indeed?
This happened a long time ago. And afterward, when they told how Rabbi Kalman disappeared from Krakow, there were some who closed one eye and looked wise, as if to say,
we know, you and I, where Rabbi Kalman really was and what he did.
And there were others who told how the Jews of Krakow were saved by nothing less than a miracle. But we know, you and I, what Rabbi Kalman would have said if he had heard them.
What is the miracle, after all? That there is some good in all men, and if you look, you will find it.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mrs. Irwin Rice, Registrar of the Women's Institute of the University of Judaism. Mrs. Rice.
Although the setting of the story we have just heard is in Krakow, Poland, at the turn of the 19th century, it has specific meaning for us. Particularly so during these weeks when we celebrate the birthdays of the two great American leaders, Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. Their work made it possible for our country to be the most successful experiment known to human history in human dignity and individual freedom. Their endeavors made it fitting for us to create in America Brotherhood Week. Rabbi Kalman, while on his secret mission, discovered the key to the love of one's fellow men. It is based on understanding and knowing man's needs and his wants. It also means knowing the cause of his unrest and his frequent inhuman actions. The character of Rabbi Kalman may well serve as an example to us. From him we can learn that with knowledge there is hope for understanding, and with understanding there comes love. May our philosophy of brotherhood be reflected not in words, but in actions and in deeds. May we also learn that our happiness and our security depends upon the happiness and the security of all our fellow men. The legacy of our belief in the fatherhood of God and in the brotherhood of man must be planted in the hearts and in the minds of men if it is to take root and flourish. In recent years, free men everywhere have learned that the only weapon that they can wield against hatred and bigotry and anger is a better understanding of freedom, decency, and the love of God. So long as we remember the basic tenets of the teachings of the Bible, so long shall we safeguard democracy and the brotherhood of man.
Thank you, Mrs. Rice. Eternal Light drama today, How Rabbi Kalman Disappeared, based on a story by Menashe Unger, which appeared in the Day Jewish Journal, was written by Joseph Mindell. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction, and cantor Nathan Katzman the song. Featured in the cast were Marvin Miller, Jack Crucian, Paul Richards, Jack Nestle, Shepard Menken, Paul Dubow. The music was written by Morris Mimorski and conducted by Robert Armbruster. This has been an NBC Radio Network production, transcribed from Hollywood, directed by Andrew C. Love. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Join us again next week when the Eternal Light will present Lou Ayres in a story titled Different Drums.
This is the NBC Radio Network.